Dear Lord, I just thank you for this time for us to be together, to worship you, Lord, to learn from you. Thank you for Ashley and for the message that he's going to bring us today. Pray that you would speak through him, Lord. Help us to have hearts that are ready to hear and accept what you want us to hear today. Help us to have hearts that are willing to change. Help us just to have teachable hearts, Lord. And we just commit all this to you, your name. Amen.
Amen. Thanks, Sue. So my name's Ashley. I'm one of the elders here. I don't see anybody new today. Y'all know who I am. Little change of plans this morning. Get that ring out of the... Are we recording? We all good? Yep. All right. I got to bed a little after midnight last night. That's after about 7 hours of working on my sermon yesterday. That's how it is when you got a full day job and then do this part-time. And then as my usual routine, I got up this morning to go over my sermon, to be ready for today, and I realized, you know, it's a rabbit hole, and a new crevice just fell open. And I realized very quickly, I am not prepared to teach on that passage adequately as an elder who's supposed to communicate truth accurately this morning. Oh no, what are we going to do? So I texted Phil this morning at 9:15. I said, hey, could you cover our prayer meeting before service? I'm going to need a little extra time here. However, I am thoroughly excited to share something that I've been preparing for almost a year that I had already queued up for a couple weeks from now. As we look into 1 Timothy chapter 6. Now, if you don't have one already, does anybody not have the Confession of Timothy handout? If you don't have that handout, raise your hand, because you're going to have that this morning. All right? You need a copy of that handout. Ron's bringing them around, so we have plenty. That's where we're headed today. And make sure you've got a copy. All right. So I was scheduled to speak on 1 Timothy 6, 1 and 2 about slaves and masters. I'll pick that up in a couple weeks. Instead, we're going to roll ahead to verses 11 through 16 and 20 and 21. And we will get to those verses later in this service. But for now, we're going to stand and read together this handout right below the scripture references. And I will explain what we're reading after we read it. And then we're going to read it again at the very end of the service. I've got a little bit of ring in the microphone, Bill, if you could help tune that out. Thanks. So, here we go. Everybody please stand. And this is from the English Standard Version. And I will explain what we're reading here. This is the message today. So, we're going to start where it says, the saying is trustworthy. Here we go. The saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Everything created by God is good. God, who gives life to all things, and of Christ Jesus, who in his testimony before Pontius Pilate made the good confession. God, our Savior, who desires all people to be saved, to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God, and there is one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all. Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, the offspring of David. He was manifested in the flesh, vindicated by the Spirit, seen by angels, proclaimed among the nations, believed on in the world, taken up in glory. The appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he will display at the proper time. He who is the blessed and only sovereign, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who alone has immortality, who dwells in unapproachable light, whom no one has ever seen or can see. To him be honor and eternal dominion. Amen. We have our hope set on the living God, who is the Savior of all people, especially of those who believe, the household of God, which is the church of the living God, a pillar and buttress of the truth. If we have died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. The Lord knows those who are his. Let everyone who names the name of the Lord depart from iniquity. The Lord will rescue me from every evil deed and bring me safely into his heavenly kingdom. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. To the King of the ages, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. You may be seated. Now, the way I was raised, we used to say, if that don't light your fire, your wood's wet. Amen. That is a truth bomb that you can drop right smack in the face of Satan. Satan started out in the Garden of Eden deceiving, telling half-truths and lies. And you can smack him. John Piper says about memorizing Scripture, he says, as Jesus modeled for us, when Satan comes to you, you just smack him in the face with Scripture and he cannot fight back against that. This is a massive truth bomb when Satan is whispering lies to you. I have been reading this daily and in the last few weeks with my wife, as well as we go to bed, as I get up in the morning before I start my work day. I've been meditating on this. It's like wax on, wax off, Mr. Miyagi, right? Just working on that repetition and reciting what we call here the Confession of Timothy. And now these phrases, these verses come to mind throughout my day. As things come up, I can go to that passage and I can present the truth to whatever is confronting me in my mind that day. So let's give some context here. Our theme this year is build. Building on the foundation, that foundation is truth. We don't find our identity in the pain of life. We find our identity in the truth of Christ. And this, what we have on this sheet, are the truth statements that Paul told Timothy to guard. Do not swerve from the truth. Over and over, as we've gone through the book of 1 Timothy, it's been all about teaching the truth, guarding the truth. Well, this is the truth. So as we go woven through the book of 1 and 2 Timothy, there are these truth statements that feel like a creed or a doctrinal statement. And some of these even have like a stanza, poetic frame to them that's very clearly something that the early church had already been stating back and forth to one another as truth. For example, on the third column, the third paragraph, if we have died with him, we will live with him, endure, reign, deny, faithless, faithful. Right? That parallel structure there just cries out that this is more than just an average prose piece of Scripture. This is an actual truth statement. In the top of the second column, in 1 Timothy 2, for there's one God, there's one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all. Thank you, Jesus. Wow. And he just drops that in right in the middle of when he's talking about prayer. So what I've done is, I've been so excited. I can wait. I've been leaking this page to other people in the Congress. I'm so excited to get to talk about this today. Because when you look across all of 1 and 2 Timothy and then you extract just these truth statements and put them together in one page like this, it's powerful. It's powerful. So this is the foundation of truth. So how do we wage war against Satan lies with truth bombs? Truth bombs every morning to ground yourself on the foundation of truth and steel your soul against the lies and deceptions of Satan. These are confessional statements arranged into a flow to combat the daily barrage of Satan's lies. If we read these and take one every morning, like your vitamins or your medicine, right? Take one every morning. Read this to start the day with your feet firmly grounded on God's salvation and foundation. And as Scripture says, we can rejoice in the truth. So that's what we have in front of us on this page. And because we're in chapter 6, that's where one of these comes from. So what we're going to do now, no slides today, just open up your Bible to 1 Timothy chapter 1. And we're just going to walk through. These passages are listed on the handout there. We're going to start in chapter 1, and we're going to read and uncover the patterns of these passages so that we can see. There's little clues, like forever and ever, amen. Randy Travis didn't invent that. Forever and ever, amen, comes up over all several times in this passage. Amen is the end of a prayer. It's a signal to us, hey, there's something important there we need to look at, right? Frequently throughout these passages, he says, the saying is trustworthy. Pistis hol logos in the Greek. In other words, faithful is the word. Faithful, dependable, sure, believable is the word, the logos. That's what he's saying here. So we're looking for these flags. As we read through these passages in your Bible, pay attention to those signals that we're getting ready to look at. So let's start in 1 Timothy 1, 15 through 20. The saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am foremost. But I receive mercy for this reason, that in me, as the foremost, Christ Jesus might display his perfect patience as an example to those who were to believe in him for eternal life. To the King of the ages, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Mike led us in a hymn recently that quoted that verse right there. So many of these ascribing greatness and the qualities of God, this occurs over and over through these passages. So we see those bookends. The saying is trustworthy and it ends with an amen. So that tells us this is a special passage we need to look at. Let's go on to chapter 2. Now, this is where Paul says, I urge then supplications, prayers, intercessions, thanksgiving, all people. We're really familiar with this passage, but let's lift out the middle part of verses 3 through 7. This is good, and it's pleasing in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all people to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. There's that word, truth. What is that truth? What is the truth, Paul, that God wants everybody to know? He's going to tell us. For there is one God, there is one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all, which is the testimony given at the proper time. For this truth that I just told you, this is why I was appointed a preacher and an apostle. I'm telling the truth. I'm not lying. Not going to lie, that's what they say these days, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and truth. There's that word that keeps coming up, truth. Truth, truth. This is the theme today. It's very simple. It's very elementary. But we're putting it all together to make one big truth bomb. Let's go on to chapter 3, verses 14 through 16. And here we see, in verse 16, one of those poetic stanza frames. In your Bible, is it kind of lined up like a poetic stanza there? Depending on your translation, it might just run it all together to make it look like a paragraph. But no, these are actually stanzas. So, starting in verse 14 of chapter 3, I hope to come to you soon, but I'm writing these things to you so that if I delay, you may know how one ought to behave in the household of God, which is the church of the living God, a pillar and buttress of the truth. And he's about to tell us another truth statement here. And Jack has mentioned this particular passage all through the series. This chapter 3, 15 and 16 is the hinge point for the whole book of Timothy. It's about truth in the household of God. And notice it says the household of God, which he defines here as the church of the living God, a pillar and buttress of the truth. So that's the definition of what the church is. And he says, great, and what is that truth that the church is representing? Great indeed, we confess, is the mystery of godliness. He was manifested in the flesh, vindicated by the Spirit, seen by angels, proclaimed among the nations, believed on in the world, taken up in glory. Wow. Proclaiming Christ. This is the foundation that our entire structure rests on as we build. And all these things apparently happened before Christ was taken up in glory, it would appear. He was manifested in the flesh, Emmanuel, God with us, as we'll read in another passage here in just a minute, the offspring of David, right? Vindicated. What does that word vindicated mean? Justified or proved to be righteous by the Spirit. Seen by angels. Proclaimed among the nations. Believed on in the world. Taken up in glory. Proclaimed and believed. That's what Paul was about. That's what we are about. Proclaiming Christ and believing. All right, let's keep going. Chapter 4, verse 4. I've read this verse many times through this series. We're going to read from verse 4 all the way to the end of the chapter here. For everything created by God is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it is received with thanksgiving. For it is made holy by the word of God and prayer. So if you put these things before the brothers, you will be a good servant of Christ Jesus, being trained in the words of the faith and of the good doctrine that you have followed. Have nothing to do with irreverent, silly myths. Rather, train yourself for godliness. This is that gymnasium word, because we're in Ephesus, the gymnasium, the gym, literally working out physical fitness. You know, people here are obsessed with physical fitness in our day. They were in his day as well. Gyms were all the rage back then. So he's saying, look, you want to train yourself for something, train yourself for godliness. For while bodily training is of some value, godliness, we see godliness over and over in Timothy. Godliness is of value in every way as it holds promise for the present life, and also for the life to come. Here's that again. The saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance. We've read that twice now. Not only is this a true statement that you can believe, but everybody should be aware of this. It's deserving that everyone should accept this truth statement. For to this end we toil and strive, because we have our hope set on the living God, who is the Savior of all people, especially of those who believe. Command and teach these things. Let no one despise you for your youth, but set the believers an example in speech and conduct and love and faith and purity. Until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to exhortation and teaching. Do not neglect the gift you have, which was given you by prophecy when the council of elders laid their hands on you. Practice these things. Immerse yourself in them so that all may see your progress. Keep a close watch on yourself and on the teaching. Persist in this, for by so doing you will save both yourself and your hearers. So we are to devote ourselves to the public reading of Scripture, exhortation, teaching. Keep a close eye on yourself and the teaching, the truth. This keeps coming up, right? And persist in this because it will save you and your hearers. So how can we persist in this truth? By taking our truth pill every morning. Yes. All right, chapter 6. Now we're getting to the passage in chapter 6, verse 11. We're going to read 11 through 16 and then 20 and 21. But as for you, O man of God, flee these things. Pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, steadfastness, and gentleness. Fight the good fight of the faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called and about which you made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. Let me just pause right there. This is called the confession of Timothy. The word confession can have different connotations. We often think of confessing our sins. Throughout church history, believers have been known as confessors, the confessing church in Germany, for example. The confession is the substance of what you believe. You're confessing your belief, and the confession is what you believe. Okay, so this is Timothy's good confession, and we see Paul twice here talk about the good confession of Timothy and another one coming up. I charge you, this is verse 13, I charge you in the presence of God, who gives life to all things, and of Christ Jesus, who in his testimony before Pontius Pilate made the good confession to keep the commandment unstained and free from reproach until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he will display at the proper time. He who is the blessed and only sovereign, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who alone has immortality, who dwells in unapproachable light, whom no one has ever seen or can see, to him be honor and eternal dominion. Amen. And if we pair this with what's called the cosmic Christ in Colossians, when it has this amazing description of who Christ is, Hebrews talks about Christ, there wasn't anything made that was made without him, right? It talks about our God's a consuming fire. There's all these creedal type statements that occur all through the New Testament. We're just focused on the confession of Timothy here, but we see this validated in so many other places in Scripture. And then skipping down to verses 20 and 21. O Timothy. He's imploring Timothy. This is not just saying, hey, Timothy, take a look. He's saying, oh, Timothy, what I'm about to say is very important. Guard the deposit entrusted to you. This is the deposit, the truth. We're not to swerve from the truth. This is the deposit. Avoid the irreverent babble and contradictions of what is falsely called knowledge. For by professing it, some have swerved from the faith. Grace be with you. Now remember chapter 2, God, the Savior of all people, who desires all men to come to a knowledge of the truth. And here he says there's babble, there's contradictions, there's false teachings known as being held up as knowledge when it's not, causing people to swerve from the faith. This is the theme over and over through the book of 1 Timothy. It's to keep us on course by reciting and knowing and meditating and rejoicing in this truth. I find it interesting back in verses 12, and where is it here? And 13. You made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. What did we just do? We read the confession in the presence of many witnesses. A confession is a public thing. We can read it and meditate on it in private, and we should. Joshua 1:8, this word, don't let this word of the law depart from your mouth, and meditate on it day and night, right? And it'll do all these great things for you. So we are to meditate on this, but also Jesus made the good confession before Pontius Pilate. And he's encouraging us, looking to our example, Christ, who publicly made the good confession, who did not fear, who did not back down, who brought the truth. Remember, Pontius Pilate said, "What is truth?" And Jesus brought the truth to Pontius Pilate. So, now, we're going to dip ahead into 2 Timothy. We'll cover these passages again later, but to complete the confession of Timothy here, we do need to skip ahead. So let's go to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 8 through 19. Remember Jesus Christ. We're told to remember Him in the Eucharist, the communion. And here He's telling us specifically, what do we remember about Jesus Christ? Remember Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, the offspring of David, as preached in my gospel, for which I am suffering, bound with chains as a criminal. But the Word of God is not bound. Therefore, I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they also may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Here's this key phrase again. The saying is trustworthy. The word, the spoken word, is faithful here. What is the spoken word? If we have died with Him, we will also live with Him. If we endure, we will also reign with Him. If we deny Him, He also will deny us. If we are faithless, He remains faithful, for He cannot deny Himself. This confession, creed, statement right here is beautiful in its symmetry, and it reminds us of the gospel. He died that we might live. If we endure, yes, there's something to be endured. It's not easy. It must be endured. And if we endure, as He taught us, as Hebrews 12 tells us, as Philippians 2 tells us, we endure as Christ did, then we will reign with Him. But He doesn't stop there. He warns us not to deny Him, or He will deny us. Denial and faithlessness could be different. They actually are, right? Faithlessness can produce denial if it bears that fruit, but it doesn't have to. So he downgrades it a notch, and he says, but if you're faithless, He does remain faithful, for He cannot deny Himself. What does that mean? It means that we belong to God. We are His. He cannot deny Himself. Verse 14, remind them of these things. So verse 8, He says, remember. Verse 14, remind. This is important. Don't just say it once. Keep saying this over and over. Remind yourself. Remind everyone else around you. Remind them of these things and charge them before God not to quarrel about words. Paul must have been in a lot of quarrels, because this is a frequent theme for him. Quarrels and all these agitated conversations, bickering over words, right? So not to quarrel about words, which does no good, but only ruins the hearers. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightly handling the word of truth. Wax on, wax off. Rightly handling the word of truth. Morning and evening, meditating on the truth. So that when the conversation comes up, you can spot the counterfeit, right? You spot the counterfeit by studying what's true. Avoid irreverent babble, for it will lead people into more and more ungodliness, and their talk will spread like gangrene. That's nasty. Among them are Hymenaeus and Philetus, who have swerved from the truth. There's that phrase again. Swerve from the truth. Saying that the resurrection has already happened. They're upsetting the faith of some. And then here's the next frame. But God's firm foundation stands, bearing this seal. We just talked about the foundation of truth. Did you know that that foundation of truth has two seals on it that God put there? What does the seal say? That must be really important. If God sealed the foundation with these following two statements, what was so important for us to remember? It's not erected in 1995 on the stone in the corner. What does this seal say? The Lord knows those who are His. John 10, I'm the good shepherd, my sheep know my voice. The Lord knows those who are His. Just above we read, He cannot deny Himself. The Lord knows those who are His. And what's the next one? Let everyone who names the name of the Lord depart from iniquity. Ooh. Keep your eye out. Depart from iniquity. Recognize it. Walk the other way. What is iniquity? In Exodus 34, this is one of my life verses. I have too many life verses. Exodus 34, when Moses says, show me your glory. He says, you can't handle it, but I'll let my goodness pass before you. The Lord proclaims and defines who is the Lord. The Lord God, full of mercy and grace and patience and long-suffering, all those things, right? Forgiving all of your iniquity, transgression, and sin. Categorically forgiving any possible kind of sin. So sin is just, I missed the mark. I tried, I was aiming for the right thing, but I missed it. That's sin. Sin, transgression, there's a line in the sand. God said, don't do this. I crossed the line. I transgressed. I trans across the gresh, the line. I moved across the line. That's transgression. God said no, but I did it anyway. That's transgression. Iniquity is pure, evil, wicked heart intention. Very different than aiming for the right thing and missing. So he says, here, on the seal, the Lord knows those who are His. Let everyone who names the name of the Lord depart from an evil, wicked heart bent on rejecting God's authority. That's what that means. Because that's the story of the battle from Genesis to Revelation. Those who reject the authority of God, inspired by the deception of Satan, which we combat with the truth. Yes. Amen. That's right. So, wow. So we lift out these truth statements. And if it says God's firm foundation stands bearing this seal, that bears our attention of reminding and remembering. Lastly, let's look at 2 Timothy 4:18. So Paul here is talking about how he's in prison. He made his first defense and he was alone. Everybody deserted him. Nobody's there to go before him, with him to the court. He's feeling entirely alone. But at the same time, he was rescued from the lion's mouth. And then verse 18 says, "The Lord will rescue me from every evil deed and bring me safely into his heavenly kingdom. To him be the glory forever and ever. Amen." You can take it to the bank. Amen. This is true. This is a true saying. The Lord will do two things. Rescue me from every evil deed. Again, evil deeds would be the iniquity of others towards me. God will rescue me from every evil deed, and not only that, bring me safely into his heavenly kingdom. To that God be the glory forever and ever. Amen. All right. Now, those are, I'm sure you can find more. There's a whole page of truth statements here. Maybe that's your challenge, is to go home and see if there's anything I missed. All right. That would require you to read word for word 1 and 2 Timothy this week. That would not offend me at all. All right. Because we are to remind one another. We are to remember the truth. All right. So what I've done is I took these passages then, these confessions that are to be made in public, these truth statements, and I arranged them in a flow because they're randomly scattered throughout 1 and 2 Timothy. And so I tried to arrange them in a way that kind of flowed with, okay, this saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. I could just stop right there for a while. Wow. Whatever you're facing in your day, whoever's up in your grill, whoever you're struggling with at work or at home, if you just stop and you say, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, that gives you an entirely different context for what you're facing right there. Wow, that's powerful. Now, yes, we're sinners, but also everything created by God is good. God made us in His image and good, and we're worth saving. God, who gives life to all things, of Christ Jesus, who in his testimony before Pontius Pilate made the good confession. So we're starting out now, we're talking about who is God in this confession. He gives life to all things. God, our Savior. What does God want? He desires all people to be saved. He's the Savior. He wants to save people. To come to the knowledge of the truth. And what is that truth? That there's one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all. Well, who is Christ then? Jesus Christ, risen from the dead. That is the heart of the gospel. Jesus rose from the dead. If you're not sharing that part when you're sharing the gospel, you're not sharing the entire story. Risen from the dead, the offspring of David. He was human. He was one of us. He was a man like us. Which then just flows naturally. He was manifested in the flesh. He was the offspring of David. He became flesh. Vindicated by the Spirit, proved righteous, seen by angels, proclaimed among the nations, believed on in the world, taken up in glory. And he was taken up in glory. Then also he said he would what? He would come back. And the angel said that he will come back in the same way that you saw him leave. The appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he will display at the proper time. We don't know the time. He's got the proper time. And who's this one that's coming back? The blessed and only sovereign that's rebellious talk in the Roman Empire. The only sovereign, not just a provincial governor, but above the emperor, above the president of the United States, the only sovereign, most high above all earthly authority, the King of all kings, the Lord of all lords, who alone, nobody else, has immortality. He dwells in unapproachable light, whom no one has ever seen or can see. To him, to that God, be honor and eternal dominion. Amen. And where does our hope lie? In that one who is the only immortal one. Our hope is set on the living God, who is the Savior of all people, especially of those who believe. And as you start to look at this, you see the connection. Wait a minute. The Savior of all people, we look to the left in the next, in the middle column, God our Savior, who desires all people to be saved. Now we're reading, our hope set on the living God, who's the Savior of all people, especially of those who believe. And what do you call the people who believe in God? That's the household of God, which is the church of the living God. Again, the living God. A pillar and buttress of this truth. What is this truth? So now we see the progression. We move from God, who is Christ, who is the church. Now, who are the people in the church? If we have died with Him, we will also live with Him. If we endure, we will also reign with Him. If we deny Him, He also will deny us. If we are faithless, He remains faithful, for He cannot deny Himself. The Lord knows those who are His. Let everyone who names the name of the Lord depart from iniquity. Now, just pause there for a second and go back to the first column, the first thing we read, the saying's trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Now we're at the us part. Who did He come to save? Us. Even when we are faithless, He will remain faithful. He knows who are His. The Lord, and then what is Paul's affirmation here in his own, the lowest point of his life, lower than shipwreck and being beaten, he's approaching his sentencing. And in that place, he says, "The Lord will rescue me from every evil deed and bring me safely into His heavenly kingdom." I can face anything if I know that the Lord will rescue me and bring me safely into His heavenly kingdom. Anything? Remember that part, if we endure with Him, we will reign with Him. There are some things to endure. In the middle of that endurance, we have to remember that the Lord will rescue me from every evil deed. The Lord will bring me safely into His heavenly kingdom. To that God, to Him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. To the King of the ages, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Wow. This is the foundation of our feet, of the building of the church of the living God. This truth. And we come to church every Sunday. We read our Bible every week. And it's there underneath all of it. Everything that we believe, everything that we practice rests on this foundation that we remember. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to stand again. Go ahead and stand. Now that you understand what we're reading, maybe we can read it with a little more gusto. All right. This is a proclamation. This is a proclamation in the battle that we walk in every day that will give us strength. The sword of the word is part of our armor. This isn't just information. This is truth. It's different. Okay, let's read. The saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save this sinner. Everything created by God is good. God who gives life to all things and of Christ Jesus, who in his testimony before Pontius Pilate made the good confession. God our Savior who desires all people to be saved, to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God, there is one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all. Jesus Christ, risen from the dead, the offspring of David, is manifested in the flesh, vindicated by the Spirit, seen by angels, proclaimed among the nations, believed on in the world, taken up in glory. The appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which He will display at the proper time. He who is the blessed and only Sovereign, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who alone has immortality, who dwells in unapproachable light, whom no one has ever seen or can see. To Him be honor and eternal dominion. Amen. We have our hope set on the living God, who is the Savior of all people, especially of those who believe, the household of God, which is the church of the living God, a pillar and buttress of the truth. If we have died with Him, we will also live with Him. If we endure, we will also reign with Him. If we deny Him, He also will deny us. If we are faithless, He remains faithful, for He cannot deny Himself. The Lord knows those who are His. Let everyone who names the name of the Lord depart from iniquity. The Lord will rescue me from every evil deed and bring me safely into His heavenly kingdom. To Him be the glory forever and ever. Amen. To the King of the ages, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Woo! Yes!
So be it.
Amen. That is true. Amen. The word amen says, yes, that's true. Yes, it is a true thing. The saying is trustworthy, it's believable, and it's deserving that all of us accept and proclaim and confess publicly this truth. Well, it's hard to end there. I just want to keep shouting. Wow. One day we will stand before mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. We will stand before Him on this foundation that's been paid for by His blood. Paid for, but wasn't paid for, but it's also covered in the blood of the martyrs underneath the altar, saying, "Oh Lord, how long?" One day we will stand and worship the immortal, the only God who dwells in unapproachable light that just pierces us as we stand in His presence. And we will rejoice in this truth, knowing that it was all worth it. Everything that we endured, it is all worth it. It is all worth the truth of Christ.
all worth it. God, we thank you. God, we thank you for the man, Christ Jesus. We thank you. We thank you that it's your heart and your desire that all people be saved and come to this knowledge of the truth. Oh God, we thank you. We worship you this morning. We thank you, God. Thank you for your truth, Lord. This is the backstop of our lives, Heavenly Father. Your bedrock truth. We thank you, Lord, in this world of shifting sands, Lord, that we can stand on your truth, Lord, your foundation. God, we praise you. To you be the honor and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Wow. Grace be with you, it says. Yeah. That's a lot of good grace right there. Praise the Lord. I was supposed to ask Sue to come up and pray, but we kind of just did. Oh, wow. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. He will rescue me from every evil deed and bring me safely into his heavenly kingdom. He will do that. I don't have to earn that. I don't have to work for that because his grace is with us. Praise the Lord. Truth. Truth bomb. So what are you going to do this week? You're going to smack the devil in the face. You know, take this truth bomb home. You know, put it on your nightstand. And every morning when you get up, every night when you go to bed, you're going to read this. It only takes 2 minutes, all right? I put it on my desk. I work from home. I put it on my desk right there. So as I open up my computer for the day, it takes a while to boot up. I just sit there and read my truth, my confession of Timothy for the morning. Take this, remind yourself of it, meditate on it, and share it with others. It's to be confessed. Take a picture of it on your phone so you got it with you wherever you go. Hey, look at this. Did you realize we have a mediator? He will save me. He will rescue me. Praise the Lord. All right, I'll be quiet now. This is good, folks. This is the truth. This is what Paul told Timothy, to guard this, not to swerve from it. May we plant our feet on the truth of Christ this week. Amen. Remember, we have prayer down front after the service. You're dismissed.